This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities. Can transform the world. And rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
Willis.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Tuesday.
Did you know that the college football playoff rankings were coming out today?
No, I can't say that I knew that.
Well, they are.
Yeah, about halfway through the year, it makes sense. But, you know, I could care less.
Like, well, I think it's kind of interesting to look at the bracket.
See where they're at.
So I'm watching it. It's up on my TV here, are putting up the actual bracket. So as they release the rankings, they are putting up who would play who, and that's kind of interesting.
But, yeah, it is, except that these brackets can't happen because some of these teams still have to play each other. So.
Well, of course, but I think it's a lot like the... NCAA tournament projection.
Sure.
You know, like, what do they call the old dude with the fake hair?
Bracketology?
Yeah, it's like bracket. It's like that.
Yeah. Except, like, on this,
kinda
like,
I find
it interesting. So, Iowa State is the four, but BYU, who's also undefeated in the Big 12, like, they're the 11. Like,
yeah. Okay. So, it's not going to happen, but it's still, quit crapping on everything. This is great. They have Texas playing Clemson.
That would be fun.
As the 7-10 matchup.
Yeah.
And I think that would be, Oregon gets the 8-9. So Oregon would get LSU, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Miami gets BYU, Ohio State winner. Iowa State sits and awaits the Boise State, Penn State winner.
Tell you what, if I'm a BYU guy, which I am, I don't want Ohio State.
How about Georgia? Georgia would have to play the winner of Clemson and Texas.
Yeah, that's not fun. Although,
yikes.
I mean, if you're Georgia, you probably feel pretty good about Texas. I mean, I know this is sound weird, but I think a lot of people, like, if you ask the Georgia Bulldogs right now, who'd you rather play? I think they might say Texas. You know, Clemson did not look good early on, but Clemson right now is kind of rolling. And you just got done hammering Texas, so you probably feel pretty good about that. And this is the other one. We do this all the time. There will be a team or two that completely fall off the map, or even if they keep winning and will be struggling, and there'll be a couple teams that all of a sudden just start ascending at the end of the year, and you're like, dude, we don't want anything to do with that team. So it'll be interesting to see how this shakes out. But yeah, the first team out, they have Notre Dame, and the second team out, they have Indiana.
Oh, wow.
Even though Indiana's undefeated, so.
Yeah. So they picked BYU over Indiana.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they're just going by rankings because BYU is 11th and Indiana's 13th. But
right. But again, like you said, it doesn't matter. It's just interesting to get an eye for what they think.
What would happen.
And right now they think BYU greater than Indiana.
Yeah. Or, you know, like you said,
and
Oregon getting the winner of LSU, Tennessee.
And then if you win that,
fun.
You get the Boise State, Iowa State, Penn State winner. You're on the good side of the
bracket. You are on the good side of the bracket.
At least right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Jim Mora Jr. is...
He's telling you to take your butt out of here.
Yeah, he's the coach at UConn.
Why don't you take your butt out of here?
And we learned about him because, you know, he spent some time in Seattle, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And
UCLA.
People that knew him... Like, we interviewed him a lot at Pac-12 Media Day, and he was really nice.
Yeah, he was fine.
He could be a cool dude. He was definitely a guy that if he was in a good mood, you'd want to have a beer with him. He's a man's man.
Yeah, they were.
You know,
we had a when he had the Washington State blow up. Remember, it wasn't Craycraft. One of the WSU receivers got into it with Jim Mora over warming up on a certain part of the field, like returning kicks. You don't remember that?
No.
Yeah, that was one of the Washington State guys was returning kicks, and Mora got on him about where's returning kicks, and they got into a war of words. And we had one of the UCLA reporters on there, and they said with Mora, it's just Jekyll and Hyde. You don't know what you're going to get.
Well, he flies off the handle.
Yes. When you show up, you could get really charming Mora, or you show up and you get, you know, a-hole. And it was kind of like you just had to feel it out.
Yeah, he's one of these guys that gets viscerally pissed off.
Yeah.
Overly, like he can't control it. You know the road rage guy that drove into the parade?
Yeah.
And there's the video of him like just driving along and then all of a sudden he just flips?
Yeah, just out of nowhere.
That's Jim Mora.
Yeah. Maybe not to that level, but yeah.
Well, I kind of think to that level some. I mean, I don't think he's driving through parades, no. But I cringe to think, you know, like what he's like to deal with.
Well, I've been around coaches like this, and unfortunately what happens is they have all the power. Players don't have any retribution because players will never... at coaches, and media members are terrified of them. And so coaches like this get away with this bullish behavior, which is like, it's my dream one day for like, I know the Latrell Sprewell thing was an ugly moment, but I loved it. I long for the day where some red ass coach is just for a non-reason, yelling and screaming at a player or reporter or something. It's in someone's face spitting, and the dude just winds up and clocks him. And it's like, well, there you go. You know, you don't get to have, you don't get to just say whatever you want and scream and yell. There are repercussions to it. And Mora is that guy. He's a yeller. He deserves to get knocked on his ass.
Yeah, see, he is that guy, but he's like, I don't know. I think he's a step beyond.
Oh, dude, he's a lot.
In how angry he gets.
Yes.
Like it's kind of scary, actually. Yeah. From what we understand. So here he is again. He's done it again. He's mad. Apparently UConn is playing football.
Kinda.
And he's their coach. And I don't know, did they lose? They must have lost.
I think it's UConn, so we can assume that they lose because it's UConn.
Yeah, I mean, but he's...
Nah, it's UConn. It's UConn.
Kind of doing a good job there?
It's UConn. I'll see what...
Hey, shut up.
But here was his... press conference after the game. This lasted all of 49 seconds.
We've got to make sure that we put ourselves in a position where it doesn't come down to one play where an ACC team makes a call against an independent. And that's up to us to play better at the start of the game so it doesn't come down to that call, which was holding and PI. And that's when we're back and we'll fight. So it's on us to play better earlier. But it'd sure be nice if it was a level playing field.
Questions, anyone?
Jim, I mean, obviously, the way it came down is not...
Yeah, it was a hold and a PI. Hold and a PI.
Did you get an explanation from...
Here's your explanation. ACC versus independent. There's your explanation, Dom. It's pretty f***ing simple.
God.
Mm. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Hey, to be fair, he did make it pretty simple.
All right. Thanks, yeah, all everyone. Right.
Hey, big gulps, huh? All right.
He is 9-16 there.
Yeah. So he went.
Or no, sorry. Last two seasons, he was 9-16. This year, they're 4-3.
Yeah. He went 6-7 and then 3-9 and now 4-3.
But he took over a 1-11 program.
Yes. From Randy Edsall, who I think wasn't he the one that actually was good and he took him to a BCS game?
Yeah. The first time.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And then they brought him back. And
they played in the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah. Against Oklahoma. And they were trying to do like the Greg Schiano thing, bring him back. Yeah. It didn't work.
Yeah. Randy Edsall was rumored for the KU job a couple of times.
Mm. Well,
of course, this is how dumb I am, and you know, life comes at you fast. I'm like, oh, great hire. He's out of the game.
Yeah,
at least I think. I don't know where he is now.
I don't know where he's at. But when he came back to UConn, he went 3-9, 1-11, 2-10, and
hard job to win
1-11.
But
yeah,
old Jim. Now, really, okay. So here's another thing. Is it really the ACC versus independent? I mean, like, this is another thing that bothers me about coaches.
To be fair, I didn't watch that game.
Yeah, but come on. You don't have to have seen that to know that it's like an eye roll comment, right?
Does
like,
feel that
there
way.
Are babies.
Yeah.
He's a baby.
Yeah. They lost, by the way, that game in question is Wake Forest.
Okay. What was the score?
20-23.
Okay. So it was close.
It was close.
But they're out to get you because you're independent?
By the way, Wake Forest has 3 wins on the year.
Coaches are about 5 years old sometimes.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. That's another thing that bothers me about football.
ACC versus independent.
Yep, there's your effing answer. There's your effing explanation right there.
Anyone got any other questions? Wouldn't it be great to have someone like that and just have a troll? Like, if you were a station, like, just hire a troll reporter to go to those press conferences and just poke the bear.
Just bait his ass.
He couldn't help himself.
Do you believe?
Playoffs.
We're talking about playoffs?
And just see if you can get Jim Moore to punch you. I think you could. To your point, I think...
Dude, he'll fly off the
handle. I think you could get Jim Mora to assault you.
Yeah, you could.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe get some of that Jim Mora family money.
Yeah, if you sat there and just kept poking the bear, you would get him to jump off the podium and come after you.
God, that guy. All right. Up next, which other stadium Ohio State quarterback Will Howard compared the atmosphere at Autzen to?
Hmm.
That's next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, emptying out the college football tickle trunk from the weekend. Arizona fans are already upset with Brent Brennan.
Yeah.
And they want him fired.
Yeah, for a brief moment, everyone was like, oh, everything's great at Arizona, and then it's not. I mean, it's Arizona, for God's sakes. You've had one good year in like 30 years. Calm down.
Look at you. One post on social media said, question, what does Brent Brennan actually do as head coach of Arizona football? Halfway into the season, we know he doesn't call plays. He doesn't make good hiring decisions. He doesn't have a persona that fans can rally behind. He can't be bothered with marketing his own team. And he's allowing the best roster he will ever have a trophy under his poor leadership.
Yeah. Well, they
that doesn't make any sense.
They have been drilled.
And then he says, but please, someone let me know if he does anything productive for Arizona.
They got drilled by Kansas State, BYU, and Colorado, laid an old-fashioned ass kicking on them. So,
where'd he come from?
He's a San Jose State guy. And you know, to be fair, like, I mean, he lost a lot of his talent up to UW, and most of it's the staff and the sports staff, but he did keep T-Mac and he kept Fifita. So he kept his best receiver and he kept his quarterback, but a lot of that talent left, and so there was this idea that... they won't miss a beat. He's a great coach, an innovative offensive guy, and you kept your receiver, you kept your quarterback, and everything's going to be fine. Well, it turns out that when someone guts your roster and leaves, it's hard. It's just, and let's also, I think to your point, like people act like Arizona was some sort of juggernaut. They weren't. They got hot. They had a nice year last year with Jed Fish, and then half that roster graduated and left. So I don't know what people were expecting because you had a good quarterback and a receiver coming back.
I think that you're going to get more of this where we were just talking a little bit ago about Florida State going from undefeated to 1-6 because of the, you know, the transfer portal era and everything. Yeah. You're going to get a lot of fan bases, even at schools like Arizona who shouldn't be that way, who are like, dude, one season and you are out.
Yeah.
You know, there's no more program building. It's like, come in, get it done like Indiana guy's doing or get out of here.
Yeah. There just isn't a lot of patience, especially when things weren't going well at your school. You finally had the year that popped. And it's not like Fish won, you know, 12 games and went to the playoff, but he had a nice year. And so that becomes the new expectation. And maybe it's been this way forever, or to what you were saying, maybe it's more now, it's going to get worse and worse. It's like, we think if you have one year that means that the very next year, like it should be that way every year. And for a lot of schools, that's just not the case. Like, you put together special years, and that's what they are. They're special years. It's not the norm. It shouldn't be the expectation, especially when you get your heart ripped out, right? Like someone like the UW thing is another example of this. Like look at what UW lost. Now they did bring in some stuff from Arizona, and they got Coleman and Will Rogers, but they had 12 NFL guys on that roster last year, all gone. And DeBoer left with like their entire offensive line. And UW isn't bad, but you watch UW play, they're not, I mean, they're average. How about that? And they're not winning a lot of these close games. But, you know, this is a completely different team. This Arizona team is completely different. And this is where you're spot on. The transfer portal, these rosters are going to be they're going to be way the ebb and flow, the changeover, good and bad, on these teams is going to be like nothing we've ever seen before, until you actually, you know, create contracts and guys can't leave. Because a lot of these teams, man, you're getting 30-plus new players year in and year out. That's just – that roster turnover is insane.
Yeah, it is crazy, because if you think about Florida State going 12-0 to 1-6, and now you look at Arizona, they went 10-3, and now they're 3-4.
Yeah.
The biggest one is Indiana.
Yeah.
3-9, now 7-0. They hire a new coach who brings in some transfers, especially on defense,
and
he gets them pointed in the right direction, like instantly.
Yeah.
And that's why fans are kind of going, well, wait a minute, why not us? Get out of here then, Brent Brennan. So the big knock on Brent Brennan from them is he doesn't really coach offense or defense. He's like a CEO coach.
Type.
And so they're just like, well, that doesn't work, because they keep losing games. So they're like, well, he's out.
I saw somewhere one of the talking heads was saying that they think that NIL will actually make everything more even when it comes to the transfer portal. Like, when you watch Georgia, you watch Alabama, Tennessee, even Texas, they're not as deep as they've been in the past, where every single year they just reload. And we had had this big worry about NIL making the rich richer, and it almost feels like NIL might be making it there more parity, at least.
Well, yeah, because those guys aren't going to sit and wait.
Why would you
go play somewhere?
Yeah. Well, and not only can you go play somewhere, but someone's like,
get some money.
If I'm the third receiver at a place and I'm getting a decent little chunk of change, but I can go be the number one receiver somewhere else and get more, I'm going to go. And now, you know, Dylan Gabriel, it's like Central Florida to Oklahoma to Oregon. And as long as there's no transfers, you got guys now sitting out in the middle of the year. They're like, hey man, I've played my 3 games or I've played my 4 games. Cool. Going to redshirt. I'm out. You know, and this is just the nature of the beast. So while it's depressing that we're not going to know year to year, like building on things, it's also with the right staff and the right guys, you shouldn't be down in the dumps year after year after year.
Yeah.
You can turn it around.
Quickly.
Quickly.
Look at Indiana.
Yes. Now the question becomes with him, can he do it more than 1 year?
Yeah, exactly.
Again, he brought in a lot of his guys, but a lot of those guys are going to leave. Can he go find the next class? Can he go find the next guys? Because believe it or not, we've seen people that have like these kind of like turnarounds for a year
Norvell.
Or two, and then we look and we're like, hey, what the hell happened?
Yeah,
like,
go back to Florida State.
Go back to Florida State.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Will Howard, the Ohio State quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody asked him about the atmosphere at Autzen Stadium.
Yeah.
And I'm going to read you his quote. I don't have it in audio form, but I'll read it to you. He compares Oregon... What other stadium do you think he compares Oregon to? What other schools? Stadium?
Well, he hasn't played any big games at Ohio State. He was a Kansas State guy, yep. So he would have been in the Big 12. Yep. I'm going to say he compared it to Oklahoma or Texas.
No, nope.
The two biggest stadiums.
He compared it to Kansas State.
Oh, come on. Really?
Yeah. And I've been to Manhattan.
Manhattan?
I mean, look, I see what he's saying. They are passionate there. Like, they really love... They pack that place, and they're loud, and they really are good fans. But it's
good for you for being able to say that.
Well, they are. I mean, that's...
Bill Snyder Family Stadium?
Yeah, they care. And, I mean, look, that place is a dump. You do not want to go there.
50,000, by the way.
Manhattan. It's just... It's like Cowtown. Like, when you think of Cowtown, Kansas,
that's
Manhattan. That's where Kansas State is.
Yeah.
But... They do rally around their football. They love it. And Bill Snyder is a hero there. And it's, you know, we always talk about this, just the passion of a program. They have that. They really care. And they show up. But I think he was more talking about the size of the stadium. So you tell me, because it's small.
Mm-hmm. It's 50,000. And Autzen, when they pack it, is what, 60?
60.
You know, it's... You know, I know the capacity fluctuates based on how many people they crammed in.
I mean, that's kind of a pretty good comp, although I'm sure some Oregon fans are like, come on, man.
Yeah,
but I'm telling you, they get loud there. They're good fans. He said, quote, it was up there, man. I'm not going to lie. They brought it. I was saying before the game it was pretty similar to K-State, just the feel. For me, I thought it was a smaller stadium, but it got loud. I don't know what it was about the shape of the stadium, but it got very loud on the field, especially down there at the end. I think the fact that it was really good game the whole time kind of kept them in it, and credit to them, man. They had a good atmosphere. It was a tough place to play. I think you take some of that stuff out of the picture, being a neutral site, or if we were at home, maybe it's a different outcome. I was impressed. I'm not going to lie. It was a loud place to play. Mm. End quote.
Well, at least, you know, at least Ohio State and their fans and their players aren't doing the, it wasn't that bad. I love when yeah. You know, they melted down and they had a lot of procedure penalties and false starts. I love when teams go into an environment, they go into a viper's nest, and then they walk out of there being like, didn't bother me. Dude, you had like 6 false start penalties. Wasn't anything to do with the crowd. No, it's fine. It's average. I've been to louder. So at least they're acknowledging. I was in that stadium. I'm telling you, dude, that place was loud. I mean, that's, you know, I whenever they do the decibel meters, I always laugh because it's like, well, every stadium, I would like to know who's in charge of that. Dude, Autzen's loud. Is it as loud as Tennessee or Death Valley or Beaver Stadium? I don't know. I've played in some very loud places. Autzen Stadium, when it's cranked up, is freaking loud. That's all I know.
Did you see that Ryan Day sent to the Big Ten the video of him calling timeout at the end of the game? Did you see that? He went to the league.
Did he really?
Yeah. Crying Ryan, back Ryan at Ryan. It again.
I don't know why.
I mean, he was calling a timeout.
Yeah, but Will Howard.
But they're not going
to. No, you have to be on the ground.
Well, even if he's right, like, what do you think they're going to do? Send everybody back and replay it?
Exactly. Go away.
He said, we sent it to the Big Ten. They said that there was no time left. Brandon was calling a timeout. I was right next to the referee calling a timeout. You can see it on the coach's copy. They said time had run out.
Yeah, it did run out. Will Howard, there's a great shot of Will Howard right as his knee's about to hit the turf as he's sliding, and he's looking up at the scoreboard, and you can see on his face.
Well, yeah, but that, I don't think they're talking about that. They're talking about when they're calling. Ryan Day is running at the official calling a timeout.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter because if the play's still going, you can't just call a timeout in the middle of a play.
It doesn't work. I still can't believe when you go back and watch that, it is shocking that a guy who's a sixth year, or is he a seventh? He's either a sixth or a seventh year senior. I'm not certain with Will Howard. I think because of the COVID year. But he's played a lot of football. It is shocking to me with 6 seconds left and you know you have a timeout. Go back and watch that play, dude. He plants his back foot on a 3-step drop. He's got Smith on a little drag route over the middle, and he's got a guy in the flat. If he just lets that ball go, either one of those, there is a really good chance that both of those are completed. And if they do that, there's time left on the clock. But he like double clutches. He double clutches the in route, the little dig route, and then he double clutches kind of on the out route, and then he takes off running. And not only that, then he jukes the guy. Like he starts running, then he does this little like crazy legs Hirschfeld move. Like, what are you doing? That is, when you go back and watch that, that is one of the strangest brain fart, like hostile environment. I just lost track of what I was doing because that ball has to come out. And I wonder too if in a calmer environment, because they've got helmet communication, if Ryan Day does not tell him, hey man, when that back foot hits the ground on your 3-step drop, the ball's gone. Even if it's into the ground, you give us a chance at a miraculous field goal. But that is 1, 2, 3, ball is gone. Not 1, 2, 3, hitch, decide to run. It's
He's
awful.
In his fifth season.
Fifth season.
He played 4 at Kansas State.
Okay, so he didn't have a red shirt?
Maybe. Okay. There may be one at the front end, but he's 23 years old.
Yeah, well.
Will Howard.
Will, my man, that's not the reason why you lost the game. There were other things that went into it, but that's one that will haunt you.
This is one of those where, just one last thing here, we were talking about Georgia, Texas, and how Georgia just looked like they were pissed about hearing about Texas all the time.
Yeah.
That would be one reason. I'm not saying Oregon wouldn't beat Ohio State a second time, but that type of mentality would be one reason why I wouldn't want to play them again.
Sure.
Because they're probably tired of hearing about that. They probably think they shouldn't have lost, and they're going to have a little something for Oregon if they meet again.
Well, and it won't be at Autzen Stadium. It'll be
and that's basically what he said.
Yeah,
he said if you take that out of it, we probably win the game. Well, it kind of sheds a little light on how he feels.
Yeah, well, they did not handle the pressure well. A lot of the penalties, you know, the crowd got to him 100%, and that is why I think that home field in football, to me, it's the greatest home field. because, you know, baseball, obviously it's a raucous environment, but you don't need to communicate that much. Hockey, you get the final line change, which is a big deal because you can set your lineup. NBA, certainly there's a momentum factor and the crowd gets rocking, but there's just no sport that has the start and stop nature from a defensive line having an advantage, the O-line not being able to hear. How many false starts did Ohio State have? And
four
just dumb penalties. Quarterback not being able to audible, coach not being able to communicate to Will Howard in his ear, not being on the same page as your receiver. And then you still have all the momentum and the environment stuff and like, oh my God, it feels like the stadium's coming down upon me. It's just the biggest impact of a home field advantage you can get in sports. And Autzen's got one of the best ones. And Ohio State melted. They melted down. They couldn't handle the pressure.
All right, there's your college football carrier pigeon. Thank you. Took us a couple days to get there, but we got it. Coming up next, in the news, somebody alert Schultzy ASAP. Here is Will.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Has anybody ever blamed insurance companies for the state of affairs in America?
Let's do it.
You know?
Yeah.
Think about it.
Well, I mean,
things happen, like, you know, stuff gets broken into, or just little things, you know, petty crimes. It's like you call your insurance company and they're like,
sorry.
Well, and then the cops are like, And then you're kind of left in this limbo land of...
I just love when something happens and they tell you that it's not worth your time to file an insurance claim.
Exactly.
Your rate's going to go up so much. I have a buddy of mine that owns a
store. That's what I'm saying. This is just what happened to me. And it was a small thing. It wasn't major, but I don't want to pay for it. No. It wasn't my fault. No. But it becomes this thing where it's like, everything looks like crap because insurance won't pay for anything.
I have a buddy of mine that has a store.
How about
and
that?
And he kept getting his store broken into, or like they just kept smashing his windows. And every time it happened, it was thousands of dollars. But he couldn't, like, and I asked him once, I was like, dude, that's why you have insurance already. He just started laughing. He goes, yeah. He goes, you can't file an insurance claim. I'm like, dude, it's like $15,000 worth of damage. He goes, I file one of these and my rates go up so high. So every time it happens, I'm like, then why do you have insurance? He goes, in case someone burns down my store.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so unless someone just completely wipes you out.
Exactly
right. You're on the hook for everything. He's like, yeah, that's about right.
That's exactly right.
It's ridiculous. We should start insurance companies, by the way.
Oh, I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm an upstanding citizen. I talk S on the insurance companies because somebody has to with courage.
Yes.
I'm a man of increase.
You are a man of increase.
And I think my insurance agent gets mad at me about it.
It's like when you yell. It's like when you yell at Stu the dentist.
Being a man of increase.
Look,
I'm still trying to figure out what that means, and I don't know, but I love it.
I think I know.
I still don't know.
You know what a man of increase is?
I think I know, but I don't think we can talk about that.
Oh no!
Oh boy!
Is it bad?
What else would it mean?
That's not what means.
What else would that
you're
mean?
An idiot.
Well, yeah, we know that. What? But what else would it mean?
I don't know. I think he was trying to say I lift people up, like I'm a man of
positivity. So I Googled,
positivity.
There is a website called Mastering the Art of Life, and it says that a person of increase, apparently, mastering the art of life, by your actions and attitude, you can uplift others.
Yeah, that's what he means.
When they are in your presence.
Yeah,
he is a man of increase.
And that's what he was talking about.
A rising tide lifts all boats sort of thing.
I think that's exactly his message. So, Will, you're an idiot.
Or a 10.
Being a man of increase?
That was Jameis Winston, by the way. Anyway, it's true.
He's an
like,
idiot.
It makes you wonder, like, what is life like without insurance?
Yeah.
And then something catastrophic happens and you're screwed.
Well, you know, we could have health care for everybody, but, well, insurance companies. Just saying.
All right. Well, enough griping about the state of affairs. It is October 22, 2024. It's time for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Hello. Thank you. Thank you.
Blazers.
Thank you. Brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com.
Who hate the insurance companies as much
That's
as
right.
You.
They will fight them for you.
That's right.
Somebody needs to. Because that's the other thing they do, is they just wear you down.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to fight them. They're like, yeah, watch this.
We'll drag this out for a couple years. You'll settle.
That's right.
You'll settle. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Fight me?
And a lot of times, people can't. You need the money, so you take the crappy settlement.
It is National Smart is Cool Day.
Oh.
So I don't know if you knew that.
Are we still belittling smart people?
Nerds.
See, look at Will.
I do feel like we've turned a corner with the Joe Rogans of the world, where we're back to ridiculing smart people, and that's
right.
Sad.
I love cows.
I don't want to hear nerd talk.
But we embrace smart people as long as they tell us what we want to hear. But when a smart person tells you something you don't want to hear, then it's fake news and fake science, and you're a moron.
They're eating the pets.
It is also National Knee Day. So shout out to all your knees out there, guys.
Oh, I got crappy.
And gals.
I got horrible knees. Do I have to shout out my knees?
Well, I mean, you still got them. They still work. Right?
Yeah, but they're...
How about treat them nicely?
I try.
Well, there you go.
But they don't do me any favors. I hate my knees. I'm still waiting for some cool robot knees.
I think today is for you to love your knees. Just today.
Just today.
Be nice.
I did.
It's their day.
I squatted today, and I don't know if that's good or bad for my knees.
Both.
Why would it be good for your knees?
Well, because it gets you strong. The muscles around your knees helps build up protection. It can be bad because your knees already suck. You put too much weight on.
I think my knees injury. I have...
Yeah, I feel like it's worse than good. Right? I mean, because that's a lot of weight.
I think it's good.
I thought squats were more for your legs.
Well, yeah, your knees are part... Your knees are part of your legs.
Your they're a joint, not a muscle.
Yeah, but there's muscles around your knee that stabilize everything. So, I don't know.
I'm going to go 75%.
So I did not do my knees any favors.
I don't think so.
All right. Sorry, knees. Sorry.
Well, this is why I said somebody alert Schultzy stat.
Uh-oh.
Schultzy, if you're driving in your car right now to McDonald's, because we know how much you love McDonald's, don't go in there.
No. No, it's problematic right now. We got issues.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are saying that a fast-moving E. coli outbreak in Oregon has been linked to McDonald's Quarter Pounder hamburgers.
Bingo. You think Chipotle is finally celebrating that for once it's someone else making everyone sick? Like every 6 to 12 months, Chipotle has to come out and be like, hey, sorry about everyone going to the hospital. Here's a BOGO burrito on us. Now it's McDonald's turn.
One person is dead.
Oh, really? Yep. I didn't see that. I just saw people get
now,
sick.
Now, it's not just Oregon. There are 9 other states.
Yeah.
But according to the CDC, 49 people have gotten sick from the same strain. Of the 49, 27 were from Colorado. 9 were from Nebraska. You also have Oregon, Montana, Utah, Wyoming, Kansas, Iowa, Missouri, and Wisconsin. One child has been hospitalized, and the person who died was from Colorado.
That's no good.
Yeah. It's no good at all. No. Like, why on earth would anyone eat a quarter pounder right now? Or much less eat at McDonald's.
I know where you're going to go with that. Well, I don't know. Some people, including Schultzy, swears. He claimed once that McDonald's, the quarter pounder at McDonald's, was a top... Did he say top 3 or top 5?
I don't know.
Top 5 food?
No, he claimed... We were talking about burgers.
Burger.
And he claimed that the quarter pounder at McDonald's was a top 3 or 5. I forget
which
one.
Was it the quarter pounder?
Yeah, it was the quarter pounder.
Was it?
Might have been the double. But he claimed that McDonald's quarter pounder...
You do it anymore, you're going to have problems.
...was a top 3 or 5 burger in Portland. And he dug in.
Portland? He loves McDonald's.
He loves it.
Yeah. Yeah, he was making that case.
It's just not.
Of course, he was shamed to no end.
He has since backed down off that.
Eating fancy like.
Was Trump the one serving up those...
He was doing fries the other day. Did you see that?
I know. Well, it was a fake fry, but you know.
What?
That was staged. They shut down the McDonald's and that was all. None of those people were real customers or whatever.
Fake
it was
news.
Fake news. Fake news.
Azerations.
So is it, why is the only burger that uses do all their burgers use the same meat, but it was just the quarter pounder?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't know.
Listen, don't eat at McDonald's right now.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry, McDonald's. But you got E. coli, dude.
What if I just had the nuggies?
Okay. Good luck.
It's just the beef. Why can't I have their...
Good luck.
Why
Go.
Can't I have their nuggies?
You know what? Go.
What about
right
a peanut
now.
Butter parfait? Wait, that's...
that's Dairy Queen.
That's Dairy Queen.
McFlurry.
The McFlurry. Yeah,
I got you.
Why can't I go? Well, that machine's going to be broken.
Do they still have those little apple pies?
Nah, I think they got rid of those.
Do you remember those?
Or they're more expensive.
Those
I can't
were
remember.
Fantastic. Yeah, the fried pie.
Oh, my God. I loved those when I was a kid. Of course, I was dumb.
Yeah.
And I lived in Kansas.
I think Popeyes has those now, though.
Really?
If you find a Popeyes, they have the fried pie.
Well, sorry, Schultzy.
Hey, maybe you can go to Sherry's instead. Oh, wait.
Yeah. Have those gone from Washington too, or just Oregon?
The one by my house, they tore down and they're building a Shake Shack. But I don't know if all the
there's
ones
one by my house,
all the ones in Oregon Perfect. Shut down, and at least a couple in Washington are being torn down for other things. But yeah. there may be some still.
R.I.P. Man, R.I.P. That is sucks. Right. I love Sherry's.
Yeah, let's talk about that next. Sherry's abruptly closing. This is In the News on the Fan.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Well, this is In the News, October 22nd, 2024. It's the end of an era, Jace. Sherry's Cafe and Pies has shuttered.
At least in Oregon.
Yeah, all the Oregon stores have closed.
There may be a holdout. Like, remember the old Blockbuster video, like in Bend? Yeah. There may be, like, apparently by Will's house, there's a holdout.
Did that still close?
I think Blockbuster. I think it's officially dead.
Yeah, because the last one was in Bend, right?
Yeah.
Or on the coast or something?
No, it was in Bend, and like there was one in Alaska, there was one in Bend, and the Alaska one shuttered, and the Bend one, for a while, it wasn't really a video store. You could, like, rent it out for, like, an evening. And, like, you know, they put couches in there, and they were doing, like, a little, you know, kind of nostalgia thing, but I think that's gone now.
Well, it says they're down to 17 locations. California, Idaho, Washington, still 17. But Oregon, all their locations have closed, and it happened abruptly. Although, it's not that abrupt.
No, we've been talking about it for a long time.
Of course, they were known for...
Pie shakes.
Pies.
Well, come on.
They were known for a place where you could get something to eat when you're stoned at like 2 in the morning.
Yes.
And for high school kids to like have
let
a
me,
place to...
Let me yes. say something about Sherry's, okay? Listen, I know it's iconic out here. Beaverton.
Yeah.
Based in Beaverton. And my wife is one who was always like, oh, let's go to Sherry's. And I'm like, okay, what's this Sherry's thing all about? Sherry's was not good. Okay, it just wasn't.
No. Not claiming
no,
that.
No, I get it that you guys, you know, I think a lot of people who grew up, I mean, the first store opened in 1978 out in Hermiston, and I think a lot of people who grew up in the 80s and 90s.
Nostalgic,
yeah. Yeah, they have those memories, but it sucked.
Yeah, it's not good. And like, they were known for pies. Oh my God, like... It's not a good...
a good pie.
It's not a good pie.
It's a great pie shake.
It is the... If you went to Safeway, and I'm not even talking about like New Seasons or like Whole Foods or Chuck's. If you went to Safeway, the Sherry's pie is a Safeway pie.
Yeah.
It's just it.
The coolest thing about Sherry's is their buildings. Aren't they all the same?
Yeah, they're all
like the...
I didn't know that.
They're all like the hexagon shape.
Yeah, it's like the old...
it's kind of cool.
It's like the old Pizza Huts.
Yeah. With the...
They
with
still
the,
have one in Ellensburg.
With the roof.
The Pizza Hut?
The old school Pizza Hut. They still have it. No, but Sherry's was great as like a high schooler. You have nothing to do. You just go there and get pie shakes with a bunch of buddies. Like that's why it's great. It's not good because of the food or anything else. It's nostalgia.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But that's why I'm sad.
But I just think we need to admit.
It's not good.
It was terrible.
Yes. And sometimes we love terrible things. Mm-hmm. And that was Sherry's.
But... Or they're just everywhere and we don't want to fight for good things. Like, we don't want to go find them, so it's like, let's just eat at Sherry's. It's right, they put them all right in parking lots of big stores, right?
Yep.
That helped. Smart.
Well.
Until it wasn't.
And can we say that sometimes something's just been around the longest, and that's why it sticks around, and then eventually someone's like, wait, if you want food at 2 in the morning, there's now, in most cities, there's 3 other places that are way better. If you want a pie, like, there's a Sherry's that's like... a quarter mile from my house. Drive by it every day. Not anymore. And for a while, if you wanted to get pie, late night pie, you'd go there. There's at least 3 bakeries within 2 miles of that place that make unbelievable pies and cakes. Like, you just... Like, Black Bear Diner is right down the road. That's got way better dessert. Like, there's just... And even that's not great, but it's way better than Sherry's.
So was Denny's better than Sherry's?
No.
Elmer's?
I think Elmer's is better. Are there any Denny's around?
Denny's, yeah. Denny's
not in Vancouver.
Around. Denny's is still around.
Well, yeah, but not in Vancouver is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, what is it a Portland thing?
IHOP, Elmer's.
Yeah. IHop's and by around. The way, a lot of those are Sherry's. Shutting down, too, because, again, people are starting to realize they're not good.
The diners, yeah. Village Inn was one where I'm from.
Yeah. They used to go to Perkins for the waitresses.
Yeah, Perkins.
That's all the
same chicken
thing.
Tender dill melt.
And they're starting to all dwindle, if you've noticed. The days of that sort of nostalgia restaurant hanging around, they're just... they're dying.
Yeah, the Waffle House isn't dying though.
No.
Go to the south.
The Waffle House is more popular than ever. The Waffle House in the South, if you've never been down there, it's like Starbucks.
It's great.
You can be on the corner of a waffle, like at a Waffle House, and look across the street, and there is another Waffle House. And by the way, they're packed.
And they're always open.
Always open. And there's always something weird going down at like 2 in the morning. It's where all the strippers and like the clubs, when it's all out, they all end up at the Waffle House.
What do you think is a good business to move into all their hexagonal shaped buildings?
Well, the Shake Shack tore it down.
They did?
They completely leveled it.
Oh.
I thought that they would just, you know,
use it.
They would use it? No. Shake Shack raised the whole thing. In fact, they're framing it right now. So, yeah, they tore it down to nothing.
Is Shake Shack a franchise?
Yeah.
It's like a Five Guys, right? Like it's a fast food, but yeah. It's kind of better than a fast food.
It's like elevated. It's an elevated burger and shake. So, yeah, Five Guys or the Killer Burger, you know, stuff like that.
The thing about the Sherry's closings is that nobody really knew it was happening, including some of the employees, until the Oregon Lottery came out and said, "Yeah, they're closing because we're pulling out all our video machines."
Yeah, that was like, whoops. Maybe that was the reason we went to Sherry's. You got some bad pie and you could play 24-hour lottery machines.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Sherry's. Yes. Because for a long time, it may not have been good, but damn it, it was ours.
My wife is really upset about this news.
Yeah.
Even though we haven't been in years.
I know.
I poured one out.
Did you?
Right. Yeah. There is a little bit that you like laugh. You're like, oh man, I love that place. Hey, when the last time you went?
Bad. 25 years ago.
You're like, that's why it's closing.
There's your In the News, guys. October 22, 2024. On the plus side, Odyssey's sales staff going to be soon made up of a bunch of former Sherry servers, huh?
Ooh, I don't know if you want that.
Don't you think? No, why?
Have you ever been to a Turkish prison? It's a rough crowd. I've battled
some good service there.
I've battled some late night Sherry's employees.
I tell you what, there's nothing more that I love, and this is true of a bartender too, than the old scraggly lady who's a lifer, who's really good at her job, and fun and cool, who serves you your pancakes.
Sure.
Like, dude, I love that.
Yeah.
I love her.
But at the same time, man.
Grandma in there. She's been working there for 60 years.
Yeah, dude.
She knows what she's doing.
I've also gotten the other one where she's been working there for 60 years and she doesn't give two flying F's.
Yeah, well, she won't last long. The reason the one's been there 60 years is because she's good.
You got to look up. There's one of my favorite movies, and it's called Hell or High Water. It's Jeff Bridges. Look up the diner scene from Hell or High Water. And see if this is the old lady that you're talking about. It is one of the great diner scenes of all time. And by the way, that is a real, when you watch that scene, that is a real waitress. They were filming and they went into the diner where they were going to film. And I guess that is the lady.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. That is the lady that is the actual waitress from that. And they kind of wrote the scene around. That is like a real thing that happens if you go to that town. And you're to order that.
I love it. All right, the Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.